Who that bitch?
Who that bitch?
That's how we said chill out from that one. Oh, intro song.
Who that bitch? 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 Who that bitch?
Hey, speaking of who that bitch.
Comes naturally.
We are.
Joe?
Mike?
I'm Cody.
So confused because you both said it.
That's our new way of doing it. We're going to surprise you with how we say it together.
Surprise intro.
Yep. Surprise intro.
So, fellas.
Yo, what up, dog?
What are we talking about today?
We saw a movie. When I say we saw, by the way, if people can't see who I'm pointing at,
we saw.
Joseph and I saw a movie, and Mike's a bitch.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
What were you doing? You couldn't have your two best friends. Or at least your best friend, Jen and Joe.
I don't know.
Oh.
All right, two best friends.
I don't remember. Oh, no. I have my nieces.
Oh, that's my right. Nieces were, he had his nieces.
That move.
That's gross. That's not good, sir.
But hey, they're not by blood, so it doesn't matter.
Nope. Don't even make that joke.
No, it was an excuse. Like, I had my nieces.
Yeah. Well, you never met your nieces. I only know you have a nephew.
Well.
Right? I only knew you had a nephew for the longest
name
time.
Named Bob. Robert.
Nope.
Bob.
Roberto.
Roberto.
And what's the niece's name?
I'm just saying, Upgrade would have been perfect movie to take your nieces to. How old are they?
Oh, probably. Totally.
How old are they?
14, 12, and 10?
Yeah, see? 11? Perfect movie for them.
Throwing another niece?
Life lessons, bro.
You have three now?
Nieces, yeah, three.
Well, where was Bob at this entire time?
He was at home.
Probably fucking happy as can be. Ain't no bitches around?
Yeah.
Ain't no bitches?
He was strutting around like cray-cray. Oh, this website.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah. Upgrade. Totally a family movie.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Like Deadpool 2 is a family movie.
Tell me about, is it the best action movie ever?
No.
Ever? No. Made for less than $30 million? I would say yes.
Best action movie in the last year?
No. No.
No.
Definitely not.
Mm.
Deadpool had way more action in it.
Yeah.
Mm.
But this was the most impressive movie I've seen made on literally a shoestring budget. Like, less than $30 million is fucking
hard. Especially recently, yeah.
Like, yeah, like, in the last, like, 10 years, crazy what they did with $30 million.
Yeah.
Including, I mean, we were talking about this last night. Having a smaller cast helped a lot, because, you know, not a whole
and
lot
they
of people
were, Yeah, they weren't big-name actors.
Yeah, and nobody's really big in it, so you don't have to worry about that. But, like, the effects they were doing, which, for the most part, are, like, they're all practical, so that helps a lot, too. But there's some digitization that had to happen that was pretty crazy. And like the physical effects was like opening up a human being and like having real looking bits and stuff, because they operate on him, they open him up and they splay him open to his spine and put the little chip in there. It's pretty crazy, pretty nuts.
Mm-hmm.
But no, good action. A really good story that was super fucked up.
Good acting.
Yeah, good acting on everybody's part. It was crazy. It's one of those things where it kind of makes you really think that maybe I don't trust technology and what people will do with it once we figure out how to make technology do things we want it to.
Right.
Like put a shotgun in your arm.
Technology is literally just going to turn in for fucking and killing. That's all technology is going to be used for.
This movie is one of those ones, and so this might spoil it for somebody.
Spoiler!
And I don't care.
We never do that on this podcast.
Yeah, I know, right? First time for everything.
Care?
Her.
Care?
He said care, because he doesn't care. He doesn't care about your feelings. Not yours particularly, I mean, granted, but... no, it's like those things where it's like... The end of the movie is not where I thought it was going.
Everyone dies.
Sort of, yeah.
Sort of, yeah.
Good. Good.
But what's crazy about it is it's one of those things where, like, it ends up, like I said, like, ends up a different way than I thought it was going to turn up. Because the fact that where it was going to end the story is not how they sell it to you in the trailers and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You think, oh, he's out for revenge because these dudes killed his wife, right?
And he is.
But that's not the actual, like, that's not the ending. No. The ending is you find out he's being manipulated the entire time.
No.
By an AI.
Oh, no.
So what happens is, him and his wife end up dropping this car. He's rebuilding this old Firebird, right?
Was it? He said Firebird, but that was a Trans Am.
Had a Firebird logo on it, so
The Firebird had the logo on it, but the front of it was a Trans Am front.
Sure, why not? I don't know cars.
I think a 78 Trans Am front on it. It has a very distinctive headlights.
Sure, why not? Go with that one. Maybe it was a piece together car, because Franken car or something. Anyhow.
It's possible, but it still had the scoop, which was only Trans Am, if I recall right.
This was set in the future, so everything's all computerized and automated. Cars drive you around and nonsense, right?
Not all of them were, but there was a good amount of them.
Like his wife's car was. But there's a big thing for, obviously retro cars. Like, there isn't any time, really. If you could buy, 62 fucking Fastback, because you have the money, you're going to do it, right? Same idea. So he ends up rebuilding this car for this apparently rich guy. They go there. Conveniently enough, he says, his wife ends up working at this technology company as well. And she's talking to this billionaire kid about, him being, in a tech industry and stuff. He's playing with his personal cloud, by the way, literally a cloud he's playing with. It's fucking weird. Conveniently enough, he says, let me show you something I've been working on. And he shows him the chip. And then he's like, this will one day be able to help people who can't walk again. And so on their way home, her automated car has a freak out and ends up crashing in this homeless camp. And these dudes come out of nowhere and basically drag her out of the car, out of the wreckage, beat him up and shoot her in the chest, killing her, and then holding him down and shoot what you think is shoot him in the spine. And he ends up getting paralyzed. He spends time in the hospital. He gets approached by this billionaire that he built the car for, saying, it's not legal what I want to do, but if you're willing to, I can help you walk again. And he basically does this illegal operation to put the chip in him so he can learn, so that he can walk and do whatever, right? Well, he warns him that, he needs to keep it secret. He can't tell anybody about it. He can't be seen walking around because it's literally a test to make sure it works on humans. The chip starts talking to him, but only he can hear it.
Right.
And so they basically, he helps him figure out who these dudes are that the police can't find out who they are. And so he goes on a fucking death wish type thing, right? But he is out, he outmatches anybody and everybody. And the first guy he goes after in his terrible fucking bungalow of a house, he is the one you see in the commercial where he's dodging all his punches and smashing the dishes, right? He fucks that dude up. At first he's getting his ass whipped by this guy because he's ex-military. And he's whooping his ass. And all of a sudden, he tells the chip, he's like, take over. And that's when you see him stand up. And they do really cool camera things where, you ever, have one of those, times where you feel like your mind and your body are kind of, separate. And you have, that disassociative movement. Yeah. It's that. But the camera follows you that same way. So his consciousness has no idea what's happening next. And so, when he's swinging around, his head feels like it's staying stable. But the rest of the stuff's moving around him. They do that with the camera. It's pretty cool.
That's dope.
And also the music drops out. So it's literally just him beating the shit out of this guy.
That's my favorite shit.
Yeah. So he mercifully beats the fuck out of this guy. And the guy keeps coming at him. So one of the best scenes is the guy grabs a knife and he says, what is the chip's name again?
Wow. Jarvis. I don't remember.
What?
Jarvis.
It's not Jarvis. No, it's anyways, not Jarvis. So he's like, hey, he has a knife. And he goes, and the guy swings at it. He grabs him, bends his hand, grabs the knife. He goes, now we have a knife. Because he can hear him in his head, Stem. Oh, yeah, because it's on the stem.
Yeah.
So then he slices the guy the upper arm, right? So immobilizing an arm, essentially. Slices him down the back and then stabs it in the dude's shoulder blade and just leaves it there. Kicks the guy. Guy goes down on his knees. He grabs a knife out of it. Puts his knee in his back, grabs the blade, and puts it in his mouth, and just pushes through, and just literally damn near chops the top of the dude's head off.
Jesus!
And this happens in a matter of seconds.
Seconds. I mean, he goes from being literally getting his ass kicked to destroying this human being to not just literally be a Pez dispenser. And they show it. That's the thing that threw me off, because in the trailer, the Red Band trailer, they show a quick glimpse of it where you see the top of the head start to fold back, right? The camera doesn't cut. It literally just shows the head go back. And I was like, and then he kicks him forward. I was like,
oh,
what the fuck, man? Jesus Christ. So the whole premise is he basically has to keep in secret that he's trying to find these guys. And so he's going through, and he goes to the bar, and that's what you see in the second trailer that was released, where he rolls up in his wheelchair, because he keeps, in the public eye, he makes it look like he's still in the chair, being a paraplegic. And so he goes in, and he's like, hey, can you turn the music off? And this is like a rough bar, in a terrible neighborhood. And so he's like, I'm looking for the men who killed my wife. And this one guy laughs at him and walks up to him and is like, he's like, yeah. He admits, he's like, yeah, I did. And they wheel him into the fucking bathroom because he can't stop him. And then, so they throw him out of the chair and he's like, I want to hear you say it. So he goes, yes, I'm one of the ones that killed your wife. He goes, Stem, take over. And he just beats the shit out of these like four or five dudes. And he holds the big guy down, which is the black guy you see taunting him. And the dude had a knife in his belt buckle or in his like pant, like one of those little knuckle knives or whatever. It has like wide spade shaped blades on it. And so he picks it up and he's going to threaten to cut off the guy's ear, right? And he's like, I can't do it. And Stem's like, well, let me take over. I'll take care of it. And so the camera then shows just him sitting on this dude's chest, who he's literally beat the shit out of. The guy he can't even fight back. He's beat up already. And then so Stem, all you hear is slicing and gurgling and chopping, and this guy like murmuring screams, and he's like trying to look away, and blood's hitting him. He's like, oh Jesus, oh my God, oh. And it goes on for like 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, they're not going to show us what he did to him, right? No, they do.
Nice.
And it wasn't as bad as I expected it to be, except for the fact it didn't look like he had ears left. And his face kind of looked like it was just sitting on his face, on his skull, because there's blood everywhere.
Yeah.
And he's like, just tell me what I want to know before you die. And I'm like, he's not even going to stab this guy. Like, this dude's going to bleed out from his face. And I was like, oh, well, there's this guy. So he murmurs this name to him. But the inventor guy decides he's going to shut Stem down because he knows that he's out in public and doesn't want that. So Stem comes up with this idea: is, hey, you need to find this hacker. I looked it up. This is where this person lives. This person can help us basically break the connection that this rich dude has, because always he's going to stop us. And if he stops us, they're going to get us and they're going to take me out. And you're going to never catch these guys, right? So he's like, shit. So he starts going, and he's rolling on his chair, and he goes, you hear Stem say, we're not going to make it in time, because he's already shutting it, like he's trying to get into him, right? So he's like, fuck it. He parks the chair. He says, lock chair, and he looks at the guys, watch that for me, and just books it. And the guy sitting in a wheelchair outside the bar goes, faker! And he gets up and sits in the chair. I was like, well, that's pretty funny. So he's booking it, and right as he gets to the front of this terrible-looking apartment, again, in this terrible neighborhood, he just collapses on the pavement. And he's like, what's happening? He's like, and Stem's voice starts getting all jarbled and electronic. He's basically saying, like, hey, I need to give you instructions. You need to write them down on your arm because the hacker needs to do this stuff. And he's basically install a rootkit and break the connection and block him out, right? So he's trying to write this down as he's running. And as he's trying to crawl, half being able to use, like, one leg, gets in. And, of course, the elevator is, like, going to take forever. So he's like, we're going to take the stairs. We don't have time to wait. So he's going up the elevator, and it completely collapses in the hallway. And he's, like, dragging himself, like, all fucking paralyzed to the door. He's banging on the door with, I think, his head, right? He's, like knocking on his head. Come here. Hey. He's like, I got money. And he pulls out this wad of cash. And this nondescript person answers the door and says, what do you need? He's like, I need you to do this. And he's, like, pointing at his, like, the Sharpie-written fucking ink. So the hacker's like, all right, whatever. So drags his ass in, hooks him up to the computer, to this gnarly ass computer rig, starts poking away and is going at it. He's like, it's hard to see what you wrote on there. Going through is like, and all of a sudden Stem is like, goes away completely. And so he's like just sitting there paralyzed. And she's like, she sees an alert come up that there's people coming in. And she's like, nope, I'm out. So she starts, or it starts, probably, I don't want to say she, but it looked like a lady. The whole gender things, like, don't assume. I was like, well, you look like an unfriendly lady, is what I'm saying. So she's like, I'm done. And so she unplugs her shit and she bounces. Well, all around in this room is a bunch of people in VR headsets with like IV bags and shit. And like, obviously they're sitting there for like days at a time, you know, whatever. And he's like, when do I know it's ready? He's like, when it's gonna reboot. And he's like, shit. So he starts to crawl away. The bad guys who are catching up to him because they just found their friend all fucking tore up, and I skipped the bartender part.
Yeah,
they do this the thing, and so they interrogate the bartender. And the bartender's like, "Just get the fuck out! Like, clean your buddy up! Like, I want this mess over with." And so the dude sneezes, and then it zooms in on the shit coming out of his nose. Ends up being little microbots, and they look like almost like squid mosquito things. Hmm. And as they're flying through the air, the little tentacles pop out in their blades, and the guy ingests them, and they start just ripping them up through the inside.
Jesus Christ!
And as the guy's talking, he's like telling him, like, you know, your kind is over. Like, my kind is taking over. The upgraded are gonna rule the world. And as my microbots chew through your brain, I was like, what the fuck, man? Mm-hmm. And the guy's like, and he starts to bleed through his eyes. I was like, Jesus Christ, and just poof, collapses. I was like, good done. So then him and his buddy go to the apartment building, track this guy down. And so they get in there, they bust in the door. He's trying to crawl away, and he flips him over. He's like, you know, I know what you did. I'm sorry this happened to you, but I can't let you do this. And so he's about to fucking shoot him with his crazy arm gun thing, and Stem reboots and starts whooping the shit out of him, kicks the one guy into his other friend, and he just books it out because he knows he's not going to win, going, and they're fucking firing their crazy arm guns at him, and he's running like crazy, runs up, goes outside, the one guy chases him, the other one's coming behind him, and then the security team from the billionaire's company shows up, they come in, they're coming to the elevator, this guy uses his crazy bionic eyes, like x-ray, through the walls to see these people up, and he cocks his arm again and just fucking fires through the fucking wall into the elevator, killing these dudes.
Nice.
As the elevator comes up, it opens up, and they're just blood fucking everywhere, bullet holes, and just dead bodies. So then he goes after his buddy who's chasing this guy. That's one of the cool fights happens. It's not a very long fight, but it's a dismantling fight for sure. Mm-hmm. He gets up there, and he's like, and then he gets a drop on him, starts beating the shit out of him, like kicks him in the leg and knocks him down, grabs his arm, folds it in half, and then makes him shoot his own fucking head off, and they show it.
Nice.
Just heads off completely. And then he skedaddles somewhere. You don't see how he gets down. He's basically scaling the wall or something. And then the other guy gets up there and sees his beheaded friend up there, and he's like, oh, this shit is on. And then he goes out. He gets found out by his mom. He gets found out by the police detective lady, who knew it but didn't want to believe it because she saw footage of him at the first crime scene of the guy and then later saw footage of him at the second crime scene. And she's like, all right, something's up. Because he did a really good job of being on camera only in the chair. So she doesn't really know. It's like she thinks like he's hired somebody or whatever. But she then witnesses him not being in the chair anymore. So she basically tags a microphone tracker thing in his jacket, waits for him to leave because he's got another car that he can actually drive, follows him, and then that's when the whole freeway scene comes in from the commercial where you see like the car driving backwards. Stem hacks another car because now it's kind of free will and makes a car slam its brakes on the freeway, drive backwards, and run into the cop's car.
Nice.
Like, crazy. It's a crazy, like, mm-hmm. thing to see because you see this car and all these cars are driving around and it's just dead right back and just runs into it. He gets away, goes to where this last guy's at. They get in a pretty big knockdown fight and he's basically telling, like, his whole plan is, like, the upgrade's taking over, like, the next evolution of man is to take control of our bodies and blah, 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 right? And you realize he has all these upgrades to his body because he's faster and stronger. And obviously he has a gun in his arm. So he keeps trying to, but the only way to shoot it is to be straight out. Cause the loading, it's a really clever way of doing it. Cause like you could easily just put it in the forearm and be able to shoot whatever, but I guess it's a design. And obviously like for plot reasons, a design to have it. So you have to straighten your arm out. So every time he tries to straighten his arm out, he's blocking with bending his elbow or bending his hand down so he can't shoot. So they keep trying to fight back and forth. And then eventually he gets the upper hand on him. And he dies in a pretty terrible fucking way. He hits him through this big glass divider that's like a monitor. And as he sits there, he steps on his chest and he kicks him in the chest. He falls over. There's a big ass fucking triangle of glass. He lands on it and lands right through the back of his head. And he's sitting there and it's slowly like sliding down the glass. Ugh. And then he tells him, he's like, you know, he's like, I, you know, obviously you're working for somebody. and he won't say who it is, and he eventually dies. So they take his cell phone out, which is an earpiece, and he puts it in, and you hear the message going by, and Stem's listening to him, and he goes, I hear it. And he plays back this message of the billionaire calling the hit out on him. So then you're like, oh, shit. I didn't want to believe it was that simple. This billionaire set the whole thing up. It just happened to, like, I showed him the Stem, right. And all of a sudden he came paralyzed. Like, at first I was like, this is kind of a shitty plot. Like, that's... You basically told us the entire time it's him, right? Mm-hmm. So then he goes to confront him, and all of a sudden, Stem's in control. And he's like, I can't stop him. And so the detective shows up, and he fucking just throws her ass. And then she gets back up, and he's going to basically, like, get Stem's got a gun. He's going to shoot this guy. He's like, I can't control him. I can't stop him. And he goes, I was being controlled also. And then they do a flashback where they basically show you Stem's been doing the whole thing.
Oh.
He chose him because he was away from technology and he wanted to be human. Stem did. So he picked someone who was completely away from any technology to become, to basically evolve into a human being. And so he's been running it the entire time. And so Stem takes full control over the body so he can't do anything. And he ends up shooting the detective in the gut, right?
I don't remember.
It's either shoulder or gut. I can't remember what it was. Essentially killing her. Like, she's not going to survive, whatever it was. Killing the billionaire guy. But right before he does that, he does this little thing. Where all of a sudden, dude wakes up, and he's in the hospital bed again. And he looks over, and he's got the ring on his finger again. He's like, what the hell? And he can move. He's like, oh, shit. And like, then I was like, bullshit, is it a dream this entire time? Oh, this is some horse shit. And then his wife comes in, his like dead wife. I'm like, they just fucking General Hospital the shit out of us right now. I was like, this is some bullshit. And then it just cuts back to him standing there in the billionaire's house with the gun on the guy's on the billionaire, and he goes, you need to fight him. And he's like, he's not here. It's just me. And you realize it's just Stem, and he's locked away, the guy away in his brain. So he's basically broken his mind where he's in a delusion in his own right in his brain, and Stem's completely taken over and just shoots this fucking kid and walks out.
Damn.
And I was like, oh, you got me twice.
Mm-hmm.
You made me think it was this kid, then you made me think, then you told me it was Stem, and then you made me think it was all a dream, and then you came back and said, nah, that dude's just living out the perfect fantasy in his head, and he'll be there forever, and it's me now. I was like, oh, man. That is fucking terrifying.
That's rough.
Yep. Yeah. So, like, completely different way in a different way. Like, I thought it was, like, going to be a RoboCop type thing, you know? Like, buddy cop, but, like, there's only one of them, you know what I mean? Like, one's just the straight man in the head, and the other one's the jokey guy. Nope. Straight up, just fucking living computer. I was like, uh-oh. This isn't good.
That's not good for the sequel.
Yeah, I was like, uh-oh. Upgraded. This is going to be the sequel, and it's going to be him murdering humans.
Yeah.
You know, it's
taken over.
Yeah, it was crazy, but yeah. So spoilers. That's how it goes. But yeah, so that was Upgrade.
I still watch it.
Oh, it's super fun.
No, it was a really good movie.
Yeah, I highly recommend it if you like those sci-fi type things.
Mm-hmm.
Good times, great oldies. So besides that, we'll talk about some news. All right. Of the trailers I sent you in the last
week. Quick shout out to Braven, though.
Oh, yeah, Braven, yeah.
I want people to watch Braven.
Yeah, Braven. Two of us have seen that here at this table.
It's not the same, too.
Nope, this time it's Cody and Mike.
Yep.
Braven, for the people who don't know, Braven is the an action...
Straight to digital.
Straight to digital release, or home release. Starring Jason Momoa. Speaking
of shooting budget,
what
do you think that budget was on that one?
$12?
Not realistically, if you had to guess.
Realistic, I would say that movie was probably about, I would say overall, maybe $50 million.
Really? You think it was that high?
Just because the actors that were in it and the locations. Because all of it was shot in real places. It wasn't shot on like a soundstage, as far as I could tell.
Yeah, but the actor, I mean, was Jason Momoa was the big one.
You had Jason Momoa, you had Stephen Lang, you had... not Dylan McDermott.
I always what's his think.
Name? I know. McDermott's something, right?
He's the dude from that Raising Hope show, right?
Yeah, he's in Raising Hope. He's in Looper. He's in a bunch of stuff.
I thought it was lower because it felt like one of those movies that everyone was
I can't find it yet. I've only the box office is only 207 million or 1,000. Sorry, not million.
Yeah, I was like, well, it's really good. It may because it's a not like I know it was released a limited in theaters, but like not for the most like not most part like in where we're gonna be able to see it without driving somewhere. I know that there had a lot of like recognizable people in it, but the cast was like fairly small for the most part.
Yeah.
Anyone find it yet?
No.
That's not how you spell that.
No. It doesn't look like anything.
Yeah.
Thenumbers.com will tell me, because that's where I usually go.
Thenumbers.com?
Yeah.
You're the numbers.
It's the-numbers.com.
Yeah, check this out.
See if they gave me the. See if it's. Sometimes they're not disclosed. So, Mike, would you want to talk about why?
Oh, that's one of the websites I ended up on. I saw domestic on it because apparently it hasn't been released internationally, and it didn't show anything.
Yeah, I don't see.
Anyway,
I thought it
was pretty low because it seemed like one of those ones where everyone was just trying to help a buddy out kind of movie.
Yeah, for sure.
But yeah, it was a pretty low budget movie, and it was a super simple, straightforward, you know, no frills kind of storyline, which was just the bare minimum story you needed to get through. But that wasn't what this movie was about. This movie was a straight up throwback, old school, you know, action movie from like the '80s,
like late '80s, early '90s, action thriller.
Yeah.
Where like the, you know, it gives me, to me, when I was watching it, Joe Braven is the character
that Jason Momoa
plays,
AKA Aquaman.
He plays a very John McClane ish type character where he has a certain set of skills, but he still gets the shit kicked out of him.
Yeah, he's not a superhero.
Yeah, he's not a superhero.
He's just a regular dude. He just happens to be a large regular dude. Yeah.
The Sasquatch comment made me laugh a lot.
Yeah.
Like, how about you watch your Sasquatch ass back to the house and get me my drugs? I was like,
and I like how it had enough sense to not play him like a superhero.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he was scared, he was nervous about shit. He was like, yeah, he was like, and like I said, got his ass whooped too. Like, came out on top, obviously. But, sure. I mean, was still getting his ass whooped quite a bit during the movie, which adds to like the, like, is he going to make it kind of vibe through the movie?
I kind of thought he wasn't going to make it. Like, he was going to get mortally wounded in a way. But yeah. It ended up being the only weak point to me was, and it was very 80s this way, is spoiler, the dad ends up getting the one mortally wounded. But after a while, I was like, I don't think he's going to, like, I don't think any of them are going to die.
Yeah.
I think that was also kind of, kind of crappy in a way. But pretty much everyone, except for the little girl, got injured because, like, his wife ended up getting a graze shot on her arm after airing.
I did like how everyone in the family got a kill, though.
Yeah.
You know, except for the little girl. But, like,
but she, his wife.
Like, his wife, it wasn't,
murdered,
you know, like,
fucker.
Throwback action movie, the one weak point would be like the woman is like, oh, damsel, no, you know what I mean?
She's usually the first one
this
to
bitch
die, and that's why he
gets a call. She goes up to the mountain, beats the police there, and just instantly grabs her bow and arrow and just goes hunting for fuckers.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and like she wasn't fucking around. Like, she took one dude out, fucking arrow.
Well, no, that's the same guy that she ended up fighting.
Well, yeah, she
fought. She didn't go out like a
bitch. But yeah, like, the guy's like coming after his daughter, right? So he grabs a gun. She shoots him in the hand with the fucking arrow, and it goes into the tree.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, God, son. I was like, that's what you fucking get, man. Don't go after the little girl. And then, like, so she's fighting him, and she's, at first, she's like, getting him pretty good. She's hit with the fucking bow, like the bow and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's like, fuck this nonsense. Just throws her. He's like, nope.
It's a big dude she's fighting too. Yeah. So it felt, I mean, realistic is a dumb thing to say, but it felt authentic. You know what I mean? Like, it was like, all right.
Garrett Dillahunt is his name.
Dillon Hunt?
Yeah.
That's the bad guess that
guy. Yeah.
But yeah, like she did good. The dad, who was also suffering from
Alzheimer's.
Yeah,
like,
but
dementia,
due to like an injury he had at work, which they kind of go into, and they give just enough detail where, you know, like, he's kind of fucked up.
Mm-hmm.
Gives them a reason to go to that cabin in the first place. He's but when it's like go time, he's there, you know, like he's ready to go, and he takes a couple dudes out. But then he kind of starts losing his shit too, and he doesn't know like what's going on the whole time. So add like a weird kind of dynamic that you weren't sure. But then he gets stabbed in the stomach towards the end. Yeah, he dies.
He dies fairly quick, but it's a very painful death.
Yeah,
it's not. Jason
Momoa did not like that.
Oh, he not. Yeah,
he dude. Grabbed an axe and went hunting after that.
Not just an axe, he grabbed an axe, some rope, and a bear trap. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck this guy's gonna
yeah.
do.
Yeah, I know. When he grabbed the bear trap, I was like, is that bear trap? And then he grabbed a rope, and I was like, what the fuck? He's like, just go get the dude. And then he has an axe in his hand with a bag with a rope and a bear trap in it. And he just goes trekking up through the mountains chasing this dude. I was like, what are you going to do, Joe Braven? Because yeah. you seem to have an elaborate plan already in your head.
And so he chases this dude down, and like he catches up to him. And I was like, oh, he's going to get him somehow. Like, you know, he's going to torture the shit out of this dude, right? Nah, he runs past him. I'm like, yeah, hi, Joe he's Braven.
Right up there.
I was like, you could have got him. He had no idea you were here. And then he heard you run by, and he's like, oh, shit, he's here. And, like, you kept running by. I was like, all right, what's your plan? He comes to this clearing that the guy's, like not really headed to, but now that he sees him run that way, he's like, I'm going to get him. So he starts taunting him. But he then sets the bear trap, hooks it to this rotted tree stump, sort of starts to bury it in the snow, and then the dude shows up, and he's like, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to gut you. Then I'm going to go back. I'm going to gut your wife and your daughter. And I was like, that might have been the icing on the cake or
and,
like the straw.
And keep in mind, too, like, Braven versus this dude in the movie, had it happen early in the movie, mm-hmm. Braven would have murdered him
yeah.
with his bare hands. But he's already gone through, like, 10 fucking henchmen at this point. So he's all fucked up. He's all cut up. He's bruised. And he's... took a nasty ass fall earlier in the
not as nasty as that one guy got though.
Yeah, and so he's all fucked up and he's already moving slow, and the they just start fighting each other, and they both got a knife, and then the bad guy just slices him up a couple times, and he's just blood all over his chest and his arms, and he's just not he looks like he's about to get killed. And the guy's backing up, and you're like, oh, he's going to step in that bear trap. And then he stops, and he looks. He's like, was this your fucking plan? What, you want me to step in a, what is this, a bear trap? And he starts mocking him. But then that's when he tells him, like, he's going to kill. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to gut you. I'm going to gut your wife, gut your daughter. And fucking Momoa just gives, like, that crazy, I'm going to murder you look. And he just charges him. And I'm thinking, is he going to, like, slam him into the bear trap? Oh. Nope. He steps on the bear trap
himself
to get to him, to spear him off the edge of the cliff.
Oh. And you realize he tied the rope to the bear trap to a tree stump.
So that he could keep himself.
And so yeah. goes over
so
the edge.
So they both go over. He falls to his death, and Momoa just slams up into the fucking mountain.
With a bear trap
with a
on
bear
his fucking ankle.
On his leg. I was like, holy fuck. It was so
John
brutal.
McClane the shit out of that.
Yeah.
It's like John McClane trap. If he would have tied a glass-covered yeah. rope to his waist
yeah.
and then charged and speared Hans out the window yeah. instead. That's exactly what he did.
Oh. It was pretty dope. It was one of those, like, this is not really it's a not necessary real thought process, but I just loved seeing it so much. I was like, yeah, yeah, that's right, bitch.
So then he muscles his way back up to hold, like, to grab the bear trap on his ankle, grabs a rope, starts climbing up the side of the cliff off the rope that's literally tied to the bear trap that's on his fucking leg, climbs up the side of the fucking hill, and, like, forces the bear trap open before anyone can fucking get there.
And they're, because you hear them coming and yelling for him, and he's just off the side of the cliff upside down yelling because mm-hmm. he's in agonizing fucking pain. But he gets up before anybody gets there and takes it off before anybody gets there, because you're thinking, oh, they're going to pull him up or something. Yeah. Nah, he got up himself, and he is just fucked up. And it's another classic old 80s action movie. Like, it just ends with him hugging his wife and his kids. Like, no more, like... It's yeah. like, oh, you know, bad guy's dead, he's alive, we're yeah. good, yeah. kind of thing. And I was like, fuck, this movie is such a fun throwback. Like, it's not one of those, like, oh my god, the acting, or oh, the story, or the right. It's like, nah, man, this is just a fun fucking, you see.
And all the action is brutal as shit.
Yeah, like, it's very basic, fucking bare bones, no thrills.
He shoots a guy in the face with essentially a red hot arrow.
Yeah.
So he grabs this, like, straight bow, right? And he sets the arrowheads in the fire.
Oh, okay.
And you're like, what the fuck is he gonna do? Like, is he gonna, like, is he gonna need that to shoot into, like, the tires of the car or something? Like, what's gonna happen? Like, why? And he waits for the dude to get to the door and look because he left the little hatch thing open. Dude,
and it's an old school cabin one, so it's just a big square.
Yeah, yeah. And so he shoots this, he's right, and it goes right through the guy's fucking head, and he falls down the steps, and they're like, shit, run, panic, we don't know what's going on. And his dad's up top and the fucking sniping at people. He takes a
sniper out. Yeah. Yeah. There's another scene where he goes back to the fire. He leaves. He puts some more shit in there, and he puts an axe in there, and he puts these like those log clampers things. He puts that in there.
That's brutal.
And he comes back, and he goes. Oh, and he has a jar of moonshine.
Okay.
So he takes this swig of moonshine and he spits it into the fire to what you're thinking, like, oh, he's just trying to make everything hot quicker. So he has that, and one guy comes walking by a window and he fucking slams this metal log grabber thing that is red hot and grabs him by the throat and pulls him through the window by it, and the dude's just screaming. You can see smoke coming off of his throat. I was like, Jesus Christ. And he kind of just leaves him there.
Because the other guy busted the door.
Yeah, the other guy busted the door. He picks up the axe, fucking overhead tomahawks it right into his fucking shoulder. Like, right there, like, right at his heart area. Yeah. And you're like, oh, shit, that's fucked up. And then he takes that bottle of moonshine and throws it at him because the axe is on fire. Oh. And he catches him on fire. I was like, oh, fuck. Like, it was the best thing I've ever seen.
Then he grabs another axe, snaps the handle off it because it's too long. The dude that he left with the clamps on there is now trying to, like is getting up. Mm-hmm. He goes upstairs.
And the whole, and because homeboy who was on fire, like, fell into the curtain. So the whole bottom of the cabin is on fire. And so, yeah, the other dude that had the clamp on his neck, he's all walking around. And Jason Momoa is just standing over him. And as soon as he comes into sight, he just both hands overhead, straight down. Axe right in the middle of the head.
Oh.
Just right in the middle of his face head area, and he just falls over. And you're like, holy fuck. But then that's when the main bad guy gets his dad. So he jumps down, and you hear him pull the axe out of the guy's face. It's like this wet fucking coming out of a puddle of mud noise. He just rips it out and goes after the other dude. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it was. So then you think, oh, it's the stand. Like, this is going to be the standoff, right?
Yeah.
No, because then, like, the cops are rolling up, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they have him on one end, and he's like, I'm going to kill him. So he stabs the dad. So Braven drops he tells him to drop the axe. He drops the axe. He stabs the dad, leaves him there, runs off, grabs his shit, and starts running off in the woods after, like, and getting, like, a firefight with the cops, and, like, shooting one of the cops, like, in the throat.
Ugh.
And then that's when one of the other henchmen comes in out of the woods, but then the mom's chasing after him, shoots him in the back with an arrow. Mm-hmm. He turns around and starts wildly shooting at her because he already has, like, one damaged arm and a fucked up hand from being arrowed and fucked up because she stabbed him in the arm with her little fucking crazy-ass curved terrifying knife.
Yeah.
I don't know what the fuck you use the gut other than humans with that thing, but it's there. And so he's firing at her, just kind of missing. He ends up grazing her arm, and she fucking... I thought, like, he was going to be distracted because Jason Momoa starts running after him. Like, running towards him because of her, and she just fucking, boonk, arrows him right in the fucking face. And Jason Momoa's like, nope, run past the body, hug my wife, are you okay? All right, go to our daughter. And he runs in the shed, and that's when he gets the fucking rope and the bear trap and the other axe,
axe, so dope.
In the bag. And I was like, oh, he gonna murder somebody now, and he does.
And nice. one of the first, like, major deaths in it is he's trying to lead everyone away from the cabin so he can get his daughter to safety.
Uh-huh.
And so he's fighting this one dude on the edge of a cliff, and he basically wraps him up in a rope and hooks him to a quad.
Okay.
And he just fucking floors it, so the quad's going off the cliff with this dude. But the dude grabs him, because he's right there by the edge too. The dude grabs him, so they both go off the cliff. And then you're like, oh, fuck, because you just see him disappear off the side of the cliff. And then it cuts away to a long shot. And you see Momoa fall into the water, and then the other dude just fall on a rocky ledge, and like on his back, and just and dead. And then you see Momoa fall into the water. I was like, "Oh shit,
got him!"
And then one of the funniest things is he gets out of the water. This part made me laugh so hard. He gets out of the water, And it's all snowy up there, so he's super cold. He takes his shirt off, and he's standing right there, and he looks up at the dead body. So he grabs the guy's like beanie. He puts his beanie on, and he takes his shirt off, and he throws it, and he reaches up, and you can tell like he's gonna grab his clothes, and he goes "fuck you" and takes his jacket off. I was like, oh, that's pretty funny. Nice. Yeah, it's a super, like I said, it's a really fun, pretty low budget, but it's definitely worth a watch if you're into those old school throwback action.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Like, I rented it because it was only like 99 cents to rent last week on iTunes. Oh, was it?
Yeah. It would have been worth it.
And then, but I'm going to buy it though, because
I want $12.99 right now.
I said, yeah. Fuck it, I'm buying it.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to buy it.
Because, you know,
that's what I do. Oh, lotto fun.
Because that's what I do.
This is super weird. I'm just on the iTunes page for it. Watch the prices.
Oh, it's broken.
Oh, you break it.
It's back.
Hey.
You like slowly separated until you couldn't
see the $12.99. It's like, hey, you don't want to buy it here. Just rent it. We'll give you a rent button.
Yeah. Look at this rent button.
Rent you're rent scrolling button. Too fast. Slow down.
That's what happens when you have contextualized menus, huh?
Yeah.
We move shit around to make it look cooler. Oh, shit. One of our prices broke. Box is stuck. So I guess that's the movies. I mean, I watched a lot of things this last off and on, but those are the big ones that we watched.
Like I said, that's the one I want people to go watch.
Fuck it. I bought it.
Attaboy. Yeah.
Attaboy.
Unlike somebody who just rents shit.
Yeah. I don't need
a download. I've been renting a lot more movies, but it saved me a lot of money.
99 cents. Case.
Yeah.
Yeah, if it was 99 cents, I probably would have rented it.
Like, but I was it like, was when I was bought like, it.
Was it?
Yeah.
I think I bought it from the Apple TV, so I don't think it's... Yeah. Well, it might have been on there. Yeah. No, it probably did, yeah. I think I might have said, just fuck it, I'm
gonna buy it. Yeah, because it was like $10 last week. Yeah. So you're like, fuck it. Oh, crap. And we know how you made the money.
I should have checked Amazon.
Nah, you good. It's on iTunes.
No, because Amazon is a part of the My Movies Anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
So true. If you could get it cheaper on Amazon or just to watch on Digital Apple TV. Or Apple TV, it will transfer over to all of those.
Oh, yeah. That's dope.
Yeah.
But yeah, go watch that shit.
Yeah. Motherfucker.
I do just want to see him make, like, with all my favorite action movie stars, I just want to see him make all those movies.
That's what I say. I want to see
Good Guy and Bad Guy.
The Rock, mm-hmm. Jason Momoa, and Roman Reigns as brothers that go out for revenge just to fucking... Faster style murdering their way through the ranks of these bad dudes.
Yeah.
Like, sure, their dad can be like, you know, you want Carl Weathers. You want? Yeah, Carl Weathers. He can be. It's fine. But I want him to be like a bad guy. Like, he's not a good dude, but they still love him because it's their dad.
Like an old school Western.
And he ends up getting killed. And so they go after the dudes that killed him, like, for revenge. We know our dad was bad, but you killed him, so guess what? You're worse, and just murder their way through the ranks.
It's $7.99 on Apple.
Oh,
on
fuck you!
Oh, no.
And it's still going to be rented for 99 cents on Amazon.
Oh, well, fuck me too, I guess.
Yeah.
I mean, I bought it for $10, not $13.
You're supporting Momoa.
I am supporting Momoa.
That's the most important thing.
Yeah.
But I just want to see them, those three giant human beings, murder their way through a bunch of bad guys.
I was trying to think of another like big Samoan actor, but I couldn't think of anybody.
I just think those three together would be like
they all kind of look alike.
Yeah, and they're all giant human beings.
Yeah,
they're like muscular, not like just like big dudes, but like they're all just giant.
Yeah, because I was trying to replace Roman Reigns with an actor, and I was like, well, I can't really think of anybody, but he could be like the brother that dies first, that really enrages everybody.
Not Roman Reigns.
Yeah,
the haters from WWE.
WWE fans would love him to die first. Is that
real? Was this real?
Because they hate Roman Reigns.
Yeah, I don't understand why they hate him. I love watching him because he just destroys people. And he gets destroyed a lot, too, so it's fun.
It's fun.
But I'm not a wrestling connoisseur, as some people would be.
Not a wrestling nerd.
Yeah. Fucking nerds.
Fucking internet nerds.
Fucking nerds. They're the problem in the world.
Yeah, they are. Wrestling fans in general.
Nope. Wrestling nerds. There's a big difference.
Okay.
Those dudes are like super like opinionated on stuff. Who like get shocked when things happen. I'm like, you guys do know this is planned ahead, right? Like, you probably just could like guess this.
It's like they forget that Roman Reigns is like the leading merch seller.
Right.
And the company is like, yeah, you're not going to make that the bad guy. He's pulling way too much money for the company right now.
We were watching, or I was watching one time. Was it last year's SummerSlam or something where like Seth Rollins was coming out and like he was winning and then he was losing and then he was winning again and a guy wearing a Seth Rollins shirt was booing him. I was like,
yeah.
Do you forget whose shirt you're wearing?
It's so dumb, dude. I went to
because he did something. He did like an illegal, air quotes, illegal move, you know. And I was like,
when I went to the Royal Rumble a couple years ago when I was here in Phoenix, and the main reason I went, I was like, well, one, Royal Rumble pay per view, that'd be cool to go to. But it was when The Rock had the title. He had that short stint with the title, so it was Rock versus CM Punk. Me being the big wrestling fan that I am, I'd never seen The Rock wrestle live, so I was all like, well, I'm definitely going to this. Yeah,
he's Simone.
No, but that's Roman Reigns.
That's Roman Reigns.
Oh, really? Because they listed him twice then.
Yeah.
Well, he used to wrestle under...
Well, Joe Anoa is his real name.
Yeah.
Is his real name. So that's number... On this list, it's number 5.
And number...
12 is Roman Reigns.
They don't know.
Did he used to wrestle by his real name?
Right there.
No.
He had another name, right?
I think early on, yeah. But not on the main roster.
See, it listed... where'd he go? Number 5, right there. Joe...
Anoa, something like that.
And then number 12.
He's Roman so Reigns. Badass, he's on there twice?
Roman Reigns.
Fuck yeah.
Every wrestler gets...
Roman Reigns is a character.
That's why I looked at it, and I'm like, that looks like Roman Reigns, but it's got a different name. It's got to be a different name, so that's why I showed Mike. And he's like, no, that's Roman Reigns. And I'm like, but no.
Joe didn't want to seem like a racist, like they look like.
It's like, but no, they list him as number 12. Why would they... Ah, fuck it, whatever.
Yeah, that list. They're just going off of Google.
Pretty much.
Like,
dude, maybe? Even in the first sentence, I'm going to butcher that first name. Lete Joseph Joe
Anoa. Anoya.
Well, it's got that little. Anoya. Yeah, it's got that little part.
Sure, why not?
But that's for Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
Oh, and the other one just has, like, Roman Reigns, a wrestler. I'm like, wait.
That's funny.
Is that IMDb?
No, it's something called Listall.
IMDb fucks up a lot of shit. Listall
doesn't show anything.
IMDb once listed Charlize Theron as like number one Rikishi. In like active women, but then on the same on the other half of that list is like one that doesn't do a lot of big movies. I was like, but
yeah, that's
you just. But because a lot of those ones are made by people, though, like regular average Joes. Sorry, no offense, but that's the saying. So
average Joe Sieves.
I realize that.
A lot of those are submitted. So you can't really go by those lists because they're just like people who are like fans of those people or whatever.
Yeah.
It wasn't even a very good list because I literally just typed in actors, Samoan actors. And it was like, this is a list of Samoan actors. And it's like, you know, The Rock and Jason Momoa. And then a couple of girls that I've never heard of.
Well, one of them's probably the chick from Moana, because she's Samoan.
Could be. Then it looked like, obviously, it listed a bunch of wrestlers, which I guess are actors.
There's a shit ton of Samoan wrestlers.
And, of course, Roman Reigns
The Rock's dad.
Marked twice in there.
He's that cool, though.
Man.
Yeah, so it wasn't a very good list at all.
What was the news we were going to get into before I sidetracked us?
Yeah, way to go, Mike.
You dick.
Of the trailers I sent you, who has watched what?
I watched all.
I only watched the Spider-Man one.
I watched it all.
Spider-Man's universe. Spider-Universe. Spider-Verse.
Spider-Verse, yeah.
We'll eventually get there.
You didn't watch the Mortal Engines one?
No. I figured we were going to do it later, and then we just ended up watching random
YouTube. Fucking Veil videos all fucking morning.
Random YouTube shows.
So I have a new thought of Peter Jackson. So we all know Mike hates... part of what Peter Jackson has done with his career.
Yep.
Because he hates hobbits and dwarves. Yep. That's fine. Whatever. I'm not holding it against anybody. You can like what you don't like. You can not like it. Whatever, right? I have a feeling, though, his goal in life is to make movies that or projects that resemble popular video games just to show that it can be made, but not the video game. And I'll say that because after I watched the trailer for Mortal Engines... For the first time, I was like, wait a minute. I'm almost positive this is Dishonored without the magic abilities.
Okay.
It's very like, you can't call it steampunk, but it's like that steampunk aesthetic where everything's kind of like very mechanical and, you know, gears and all that stuff. She's wearing a bandana. She goes to stab his ass, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I was like, yo, he's just like, he took it from a book. So, I mean, I don't know how steampunkish or that kind of environment the book is. I'm guessing it's probably a lot because
yeah.
He's very big into that. But the way that she looked I was like, yo, that is Dishonored 2. Right. Like, it was crazy. And then I was like, yeah, faux show. Yeah, definitely. But it looks fucking cool as shit. And they explained a little bit more about the whole thing. You see, like, for the most part, pretty much the entire cast of the main cast in it. Hugo Weaving's character, who's the, I'm going to guess, bad guy, because he tries to kill, I think, which is his son, because he witnessed something.
Okay.
He kicks him off into a big old fucking thing because he thinks they're the girl who stabbed him ran in there. She jumped off that, you know, he thinks she's dead or whatever, so he kicks him off as well. And again, I don't know the whole plot because he's going after some kind of technology that's supposed to, like, rule over everybody. I don't know if it's a magic ring or whatever, but
okay.
Mike got it. But it is something, and like everyone doesn't want him to give it to get it. So I don't know. But it looks fucking cool as shit.
It's
one of those movies where it's gonna be, like Mike said, complete fucking garbage, or liked by the people who were liking that stuff and hated by everybody else. Is that what you said, right?
Yeah, yeah, something to that effect.
Somewhere along those lines. But it just looks really fucking good for being. Like, it comes out in December, I think it said, of this year. But it looks really good already for being this far out. So I expect us to see more of it probably at Comic-Con, like a longer trailer or something. But yeah, it looks really good. There's airships and shit, like all sorts of craziness in it.
Wow.
Pretty nuts, yeah.
It's definitely a movie that I want to see. Just it does so crazy looking.
Seem like one of those, like, like every year or so, maybe every couple of years, there's a big sci-fi or fantasy epic looking movie that you know is a giant budget, but it never does well. Like, it never does well. Like a John Carter of Mars kind of flick. Like,
what was that one? The
Valerian was another one.
What was the one that Eddie Redmayne was in it. Channing Tatum was in it. Jupiter Ascending.
Yeah,
that one.
So it seems
budget one, but I mean that. I heard fell, you know, that flopped because of
story. What he's saying is, like, there's this big budget one that could either be really good, or because it's tried to do so much, it failed. Like,
yeah, and most Atlas. Mass audiences don't dig those crazy over the top. Like, I like John Carter of Mars. I thought that was a dope movie.
Yeah.
And I think like 8 other people liked it. You know what I mean? Like, it was one of those kind of things. But it just. I'm not passing judgment on it. I'm a little apprehensive because it's Peter Jackson. I feel like it's going to be fucking 45 minutes too long and it's going to drag. That's just my initial guess on it. But it actually looks really dope. Like, I'm like, oh, I want to see this. I hope it's good. But then instantly I go, it's either going to be awful or we're going to like it as a group and nobody else is going to like it. You know what I mean? Like, it you can just tell already it's one of those movies. So hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully it's great and everyone loves it and they keep letting people make crazy sci-fi fucking fantasy stuff because that's the shit I want to see. But it's almost weird. I feel like it's, I know it's not going to do well financially. Like, you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
I know what you mean. I don't think it, I think you're right. It's probably not going to do well. It probably will make its budget back, but it's not going to be like a grand,
you know,
suddenly it's changing the lives of everybody around.
It's not going to Avatar.
You know,
that's got to be the only move, like crazy sci-fi that wasn't established a long time ago.
Yeah,
to really take off.
But I think that in part is due to James Cameron and the 3D that was behind it.
That was like something. Yeah, that was like the first time 3D was good.
Yeah, exactly.
It's also one of those first movies that had like all CG everything,
mm-hmm.
but looked
good,
really good.
Yeah,
and that's not to knock Guillermo del Toro. He's a fantastic director, who I think people will know just because of what was the name of the
Shape
movie?
Of Water.
Shape of Water, exactly. Even though most people are going to think of it because of fish dicks.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I agree. It's probably not going to do well, but it probably will be.
Isn't it weird, though, like movies like that keep getting made when you can almost call when it's going to fucking, like Cloud Atlas trailer. I was like, well, that's not going to do good.
Yeah.
you know, Valerian. I was like, I don't know if that's going to do any good.
Because I think every once in a while you have, like, those people that want to get this movie made because they're a fan of the
actual material. I'm glad because I want those movies to get made. I mean,
that's
but
how The Expanse is staying
on the air. If I was a studio exec,
you would
and
want to make
mine was
money.
About my job was about bottom line money.
You wouldn't.
Take a swing. Like I would have to have a lot of home runs before I okayed that, and I would have to understand I was probably going to lose a shit ton of money. And it's a home run swing. You know what I mean?
Who's the big distributor? I guess it would be of it. Is it Fox, Paramount? Who is it?
That one's got to be. I think it's
because some Warner of that Brothers. Stuff is going to the type of movie it is also going to. It's going to be made by a certain company. It's going to be financed by a certain company. This is probably not like your mainstream Warner Brothers or Fox. It may be Fox.
Universal.
It is Universal.
Yeah, okay. And more, but that's the main one.
Yeah. Which I guess is a little bit surprising, but that could be because of Guillermo del Toro. But
no, Peter Jackson.
Peter Jackson. Why did I keep saying Guillermo?
Because they're synonymous with each other. Because one got the other one to, you know, in the business.
Because I was talking about the Search of Water or Shape of Water.
Yep, I got you.
These types of projects go to the smaller production studios.
This one couldn't. This Mortal Engines
when you
could not
watch
be,
it, it's a
yeah.
It's
there's no way
a giant budget.
And the reason why like, there's no like, way around it. Rising or Ascending or whatever it was got made is because that was based off the Wachowskis.
That can't be true.
Success with the Matrix. What?
It says the budget for Mortal Engines is $100 million.
No way.
That has to be like estimated. That has not. There's when you see this fucking this trailer, like the first trailer. Remember the teaser trailer I sent you?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that just right there felt like it was a big movie. That is, like, nothing when they show this fucking, and the new one.
Hmm.
Like, it's crazy with airships and, like, air bases and fucking giant-ass cities driving around the ground and stuff. Like, yeah, hey, this is what we planned on, but we went over this for sure.
To be fair, I would wonder what District 9, what their...
District 9 was only like $9 million.
That was a pretty small budget.
Actually, I don't think it was that much.
But they still did a lot.
Oh yeah, no, that's what he does though.
Right.
Yeah, but this one it's everything.
No, I get it. It's everything. Yeah. I'm just saying that it with the in the right hands, and $100 million is.
Oh, that was wrong. Budget for District 9 was $30 million.
Was $30
million. But it made $210 million.
Right. But in the right hands, I'm saying that.
I guess
you can shave things off here and there. And who's all in the movie? It's
Hugo Weaving's only a real big person. Stephen Lang's in it, but for the most part, there's not a whole lot of.
So you're not paying like a Tom Cruise type actor, you know, you know, Tom Hanks or somebody.
Nah, bro.
Yeah, so I can see the budget being relatively small on that, which is good, which just helps it. That's why it gets made.
Yeah.
Can you do this for $100 million? Yeah. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Cool. Green light. You know, they're not taking as much of a risk on it. But I think that's good for movies in general.
What about Bumblebee? What are your thoughts on Bumblebee?
That's my list of shit that I sent you guys on Trailer Tuesday. I was, I'm not going to say apprehensive, but I was pretty fucking apprehensive as to the last two Transformers movies. Well, knowing that this one is just produced by Michael Bay, but being given the hands of other people, I was a little more, I was like, okay, let's see what they do with it.
Well, I thought once it was announced that it's a Bumblebee spinoff set in the 80s or early 90s or whatever 80s, it was.
I think is what it is, yeah.
I was like, all right, if you're going to continue Transformers, this is the right way to do it. And I think I said on this podcast, you have to make it smaller. I mean, the last three movies, the entire world's known it was about to end, and it's just way too overdone. You know what I mean? Like, it's just too massive, it's too big, and the acting's too shitty. You have to get back to storytelling.
1987.
Nice.
Pretty specific.
So I was like, all right, I'm interested to see what it looks like. I, as we all know, did not like the last two Transformer movies at all because they're hot trash. And so I was like, if they were going to do another one with Marky Mark and the whole fucking cast of Autobots and Decepticons again, I wasn't going to be, I was gonna be like, fuck it. I'm not going to watch it. This one, though, they showed the trailer and it's very small. It looks way smaller than the last ones, which is the right thing. And the trailer itself was very story driven. I was like, oh shit. And like, I was surprised that it didn't look terrible. Mm-hmm. And it looked pretty good. I was like, holy shit, this looks pretty cool. Like, I might like this. Like, it was kind of a shock to me.
So the, just for you guys to know, so the director of it, his name is Travis Knight. He is known mostly for his animation because he works with, he worked on Caroline, Paranorman, the Box Trolls, and he directed and did animation on Kubo and the Two Strings. This is his first live action directorial debut. So he's obviously come from, like, you know, hugely story driven
right.
cinematics and everything into this. So, but I like the redesign or the early design of Bumblebee because it takes the classic bug still. And there's one point he turns into something else because later in the trailer he looks a little different with like a different body style. But they kept him like a little bit smaller, like Bumblebee always was. Very scrappy. But one of the big things I noticed was the look of what I think is Starscream.
Yeah, it has to be Starscream.
Because he looks just like the Gen 1 Jet.
Yeah, and it looks pretty dope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when he transforms, his whole body doesn't rotate like a lady does. It literally just, he's flying, the cockpit drops into his chest, and his head rolls out just like the original one. And he continues, oh, it looks so fucking cool.
Nice.
Yeah, I was like, oh, okay, I might just be into this. Like, I might actually be excited about this.
Now,
yeah.
Is this from the writers of that?
This is early. So this one was done before the writer's room came out. I don't believe the Christina Hodson, I don't think she was part of that writer's team, but it did go through them.
Oh, that's,
so they at least promising. Said, yeah,
yeah,
went through that whole process. But it's produced by the same group of people, but it definitely does not feel like Michael Bay-ish.
Uh-huh. No.
Like, there wasn't a whole, like, I don't remember any slow-mo scenes like that or any really crazy dramatic explosions. There's some action in it, like some gunfire and stuff, but nothing crazy.
Catches a helicopter at one point. Yeah. Looks pretty cool.
Cool.
Yeah. And yeah, I think the fact that, like I said, everything has to be smaller in this movie, and the fact that they made Bumblebee more old school, much smaller, where he's obviously bigger than people, but he's not like this huge towering thing.
Yeah.
Slightly bigger than John Cena.
Does he have a voice?
He does not. They even show it in this one where, like, there's something wrong with him. Because she's fixing him up.
Yeah.
Well, to go back to story driven real quick, there's a scene in the trailer that makes you go, oh, like, which is weird that you're not expecting that. Because when the girl takes the bug home and she's looking underneath it to find, like, to work on it, mm-hmm. it's just, you see a flashlight going and then you see Bumblebee's face, like his eyes, okay. And the eyes turn on and he transforms, like, over her. And then she's, like, scared, but she got her hands up. And then Bumblebee sees her and hides behind another thing in the garage. And she's walking to him, like, with her hands up. He's like, can you speak? And Bumblebee shakes his head no. And you kind of hear, like he's making sounds, like, any kind of noise. And she has her hands up. She's like, I'm not going to hurt you. And Bumblebee puts his head in her hands and closes his eyes. I was like, oh.
Oh, yeah, I was like, whoa.
I was like, and then I was like, oh, this is a Transformers movie? What the fuck?
Yeah, yeah, that scene he's talking about with his face is pretty cool because she's underneath looking at the undercarriage and everything, and she's shining the flashlight through, and she goes up and she briefly sees his face, goes up, stops, comes back down, and is focused on it. She's like, what? And that's when his eyes light up and he goes through the transformation, but it's pretty cool.
Hmm.
Yeah, really interesting. Look, I was not
for a teaser trailer. I was like, all right, this is a good one. It lets you know, like, this is not what the last couple were, we promise.
Right.
And didn't really give you much. I mean, kind of gave you some story. You kind of know. No, not really. Didn't really give you any story. Actually, now I'm thinking about it. So it was a really good, solid teaser trailer. You got to see everything you wanted to see. John Cena's in the trailer, which yep. you just see him for like a second. He doesn't really do anything, so I'm wondering.
Know if he's good or bad. Or
yeah.
He looks military the way...
Yeah.
He does look military, but that doesn't mean that he's good or bad.
Yeah, it could be. It's still go either way.
Yeah.
So, don't know. It looks fun though. I was like, all right. Like I was really shocked that I was like, all right, yeah, this looks pretty good.
Is this supposed to be just a prequel, or is this going to be a?
This is a standalone, like a Star Wars story.
Okay, but this isn't. It's not like rebooting the whole franchise.
No, it's just another story told within it. Okay. Kind of like give you like,
yeah, because they kind of hint at it actually in the last Transformers.
Yeah, movie. Where his history throughout Earth. Yeah. He's in World War II, right? Two, yeah, World War II, because he's like a transport vehicle. Mm-hmm. And that, and then like they talk about how like he worked with the
U.S. military,
yeah, like at one point as a partnership, not like in hiding, like he was actually working with them, and like him and other Transformers helped kind of turn the battle.
Okay,
so you kind of get like they were the indestructible kind of like force that helped, obviously the overwhelming odds of the machine that was like the Nazis and everything, uh-huh. kind of like win that battle, because like he would go in places where you don't want to send squishies,
yeah,
because he can take bullets, and he's like, nah, bam, motherfuckers. So that kind of stuff. So it was interesting. But kind of excited to see what else they do with it. But it's I'm not gonna say it looks like a small movie, but it does not look all ridiculous like the other ones. Because for the most part, all you really see, as far as I could tell, was just those two, was Bumblebee and Starscream.
Right. And it seems like the only real actors we named are John Cena.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot of well-known actors in it, for sure.
They did use Bernie Mac's speech from the first Transformers, yeah. which I was cool. like, oh. That was another part. I was like, yeah, I miss Bernie Mac.
Yeah.
We miss you, Bernie.
Bernie. What else? Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, as Joe was mentioning earlier. That was developed by Phil Lord and Christopher Miller, who are the guys who ended up getting fired from Solo, but actually made the Lego movie.
Sorry, Martin Short's listed as a voice for Bumblebee.
Oh, he's gotta be.
Not Bumblebee's voice, but he's just casted as voice.
There must be a Martin Short, like audio he must
it's like the point. Second person listed.
Oh well, okay.
I'm even more excited about this movie now.
Can we get Steve Martin?
Can I get Steve Martin
and
in
Chevy
this?
Chase to be other Transformers, and they do the whole Three Amigos dance?
Oh my yes, God.
Just because it is that time frame. I'm just saying.
I know you are.
Just saying.
Let's do it. Let's fucking do this.
Let's fucking do it.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, I believe it was
Into
called.
The Spider-Verse, yeah. So this is a Sony animation. Well, it's being released by Sony, but the companies are Columbia Pictures and Sony Pictures Animation and Marvel Entertainment, which is the licensing subsidiary of Marvel Pictures, Marvel for Marvel, that outside of the MCU stuff. Because this has nothing to do with the MCU. And actually has a different Spider-Man in it, because it actually takes place in the, as far as I can tell, the Ultimate Spider, or the Ultimate Universe within Marvel. And the reason I can say that is, one is Miles Morales is in it, but also they show the Green Goblin, and it's the one that is an actual physical monster.
Yeah, like a huge
thing. Yeah, which is what he was in the Ultimate Universe. Mm-hmm. But this is based on Brian Michael Bendis and Sarah Pacelli's Miles Morales. I can't fucking talk. Spider-Man, and also includes, as of right now, we know, also includes Spider-Gwen.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
Who, oddly enough, is voiced by Hayley Steinfeld, who is the actress in Bumblebee.
Oh, okay,
weird, right. That's a little connection there. So Miles is voiced by Shameik Moore, I believe is how his parents announced. He's in a lot of TV shows. He's in Dope and in one other TV show that was out there. It's pretty popular. But and Haley Steinfeld plays Gwen Stacy, Spider-Gwen. Jake Johnson plays Peter Parker / Spider-Man, which I obviously thought was pretty funny. Liev Schreiber plays Kingpin, does the voice of Kingpin, which nice. I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Lily Tomlin plays Mary Parker, because obviously they're going old school Mary. And I think it was pretty much it for the main cast. They don't list anybody as being the voice of any villains yet, because all we know right now is Green Goblin is in it. We just don't know who he actually plays yet. But yeah, it looks interesting. I love the art style. Again, we were talking about this earlier. The animation's a little bit weird to me. But this trailer did look better than the other one did.
Yeah, I will say the first one, I wasn't on board. But the second one, it looks a lot cleaner.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah, and I think that, and I do, I think, I see, I was in the same boat as you. I saw that first one, I was like, well, this looks a little bit weird.
Yeah, it looked very much like, what was it, MTV used to have a Spider-Man
show. Yeah, the CG'd one.
And it kind of reminded me of that in the first trailer, and that's why I wasn't too thrilled with it. But this one here, I really enjoyed it. It was fantastic.
I was going to say, there was something else that I saw in it too. But it was interesting because it's they play up like the training that Peter gives him, which is in the weird woods thing, and then the whole how many spider people are there? He's like, leave it for Comic Con, and he swings away. It's pretty funny. I thought it was that's pretty.
And then he goes, "What's Comic Con?"
Yeah. So it looks very interesting. It'll be interesting to see who else shows up in it. But it comes out December 14th of this year. So, that should be fun. Oh, it's the same day as Mortal Engines. Dang.
Yeah.
That's probably not a great choice.
Which one would you rather watch?
Mortal Engines.
Mortal Engines.
Like on Thursday night, you mean? Yeah. Like when we go? Mortal Engines.
Mortal Engines.
Spider-Man.
Well, we definitely see Spider-Man.
Well, we're going to see Spider-Man, but
that day.
Yeah, faux show. That day. I'm just saying. I don't know. Did it say when Bumblebee came out?
I'm sure it did.
Bumblebee, the movie, the week after, December 21st.
It's all coming together.
What Disney movie? Oh, is that Wreck-It Ralph comes out in that same time frame, right?
I don't know.
I think it's their winter movie. One of the reasons Solo was not pushed to the end of the year because they want to compete with themselves too much. What other news, Mike? Jared Leto's Joker is officially getting a movie.
No, the internet hates that. I kind of love it.
Yep, me too.
I like it.
I feel like we're in such a weird bubble where we kind of like these movies and nobody else likes them. Nobody else wants to give them a chance to grow and learn. But I'm all for it. Oh shit,
Aquaman comes out in December too?
Every complaint you always hear is it's too dark, it's too blah blah blah, and it's like, come on, man.
But then everyone for Joker particularly, they're comparing it to Heath Ledger's portrayal.
And you can't really do that.
You can't do that because it's a whole different world.
Did people do that when Heath Ledger?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Before it came out, yeah.
Before we saw anything,
yeah.
People hated the fact that Brokeback Mountain dude was the Joker. People hated it.
They compared it to
Jack Nicholson. Nicholson. Yeah.
And Mark Hamill Hamill did the voice. Yes, he did one of the greatest voices, but on the screen is a lot different.
Yeah. So you have three if you count Batman 66 of on-screen, portrayals of the Joker, and then you're... It's like Heath Ledger did it, and then people saw the trailer, and they're like, oh, okay, we're in. But, now people saw the trailer for Leto's Joker, and they're like, that doesn't look like Heath Ledger. I'm like, no, you fucking idiots, it doesn't. It's a whole different world. That's why
Ben Affleck doesn't look like Christian Bale,
you idiots. Yeah, and you can't... Had somebody done a Heath Ledger version of the Joker, people would have shit all over that, saying, no, it's not... that you're not Heath Ledger, don't do that. And, no matter what, unless it was some universally liked actor, which Jared Leto is not that, it was going to get shit on no matter what. And I liked what Leto did with it. He had this weird fucking odd psychopathic thing. It's hard to explain, but that's a good thing for the Joker.
It's definitely a good thing for the Joker because the way I took it as he definitely had this side of him where he would literally kill you just because it made him laugh.
Yeah.
He played up the psychopath more than anything else.
Yeah, exactly. He played up the psychopath part of it more than anyone else. Well, maybe not maybe not Heath Ledger.
Heath Ledger put more of the sociopath in it.
Okay.
And because he was more of like, oh, I want to cause chaos and do bad things. Okay. Where Jared Leto's Joker was more like, I'm going to cut you to see what your insides look like, because I believe they look like someone else. Like, they look different than anyone else, you know?
Yeah, and that's what I'm getting at, essentially, is just the unpredictability of him.
It's weird. Was it, who did the Joker comic book Joker? Azzarello?
Azzarello?
Yeah. So that version looks like Heath Ledger.
Yes.
But what he does in that comic reminds me of Leto's.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Because he looks like Heath Ledger's Joker physically.
Yes.
Because he has the scarred mouth, the longer hair that's like you can tell.
And he walks with that weird head to the side kind of
mannerisms, and he wears like the big coat, and he's very knivey.
But what he does,
yeah,
reminds me of Leto's. Like, he skins a dude.
Yep. He's a lot more erratic too.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm excited. People are hating on it already. I'm all in. I'm like, yes. Because I thought they weren't going to do it after all the negative. But DC, I got to give them credit, because like, as much as shit as they're eating, they're like, no, fuck you. We're going to keep putting it out. And I'm like, yeah bitch.
They're in this mode right now where they're willing to do different things. They're like, or maybe our main plan wasn't right, but we're going to kind of shift things, but like in the same realm.
Along the way.
They didn't Sony Pictures it and just like shit can the whole thing and start fresh. Mm-hmm. They're like, let's tweak some things and we'll make it a little different. Like, you could see that going like into Suicide Squad, which again, people fucking hated for some bizarre fucking reason. I think just because they can.
A lot of the complaints about that one, it's too dark.
Yeah, it's like, yo, man, it's like,
which I thought that was the villains, a fun movie.
Which it was,
but it's also the point to be dark. It's a group of fucking bad guys. You know what I mean? It's not. We're not.
They're not the Justice League.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, it makes me so fucking mad. Because people like, it's a cool thing now for people to shit on stuff before they even give it a chance. Like, you hear about something, people are always like, oh, fuck this, fuck that. You know, like, when it did, like, Heath Ledger was, like, one of the big ones. Like, oh, Brokeback Mountain's gonna play Joker. There goes the fucking Batman, you know? Whatever. Yeah. And it's like, yo, did you see what they did with Batman Begins?
Yeah.
They took someone who was a hokey character and made him fucking real and gritty as shit.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we're gonna get something pretty dope. You know what I mean? Like, at that point, I was never a Heath Ledger hater. I've always liked Heath Ledger movies. 10 Things About You is one of the greatest movies ever made. But
Night's Tale. It's a low-key, fantastic movie. Sure. Nobody ever talks about.
Even that weird girl that names her kids weird names.
Yeah.
Pilot Inspector. The fuck? Audio Science? What's wrong with you? Those are children's names? I remember that people were talking about Heath Ledger's, and like the hardcore people are like, oh, Heath Ledger's going to be, or I mean, Jared Leto's going to be a fucked up Joker. And you see him for the first time in that very first Suicide Squad teaser where you hear the laugh first and then you see him. And I was like, yo, this dude's legit insane.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. I would piss so much if I saw that dude coming at me.
Suicide Squad wasn't a Joker movie. He was a very distant, like,
he was a catalyst. Fourth,
you know what I mean?
He's a catalyst, like, for it.
Yeah, like, let's see what he does when the movies center around him.
He's gonna chew the fucking shit out of
the scene. You think Jack Nicholson ate up scene? No, man. No. I'm really, the more I think about it, I'm really excited, because like, he's just gonna act his ass off. He's gonna be weird as shit. He's gonna have all those shitty tattoos, and he's gonna fucking murder people bad. So I'm all for it. I'm all for this movie.
Yep,
it's true. Me too.
Are they still doing the Birds of Prey movie? Is that still a thing?
It is. It's actually written by the girl who wrote Bumblebee.
Nice.
Oh, nice.
She got a couple of new. She's early in her career. She's only like 25 or 26.
Oh, nice.
So, but she's one of those up and comer ones. So, oop, getting the wrap up signal from my producer here, and over in the booth. But that's it for this week's episode, I believe. Mainly because I can't find any more stuff to talk about
that
isn't depressing. Because I just saw things like they're doing, now you can see me live or some nonsense. And those movies are there, fucking terrible.
Okay.
Was the one with Woody Harrelson and the Magic People?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Now You See Me? Is that what it is, right?
Now You See Me. Yeah. Now I got it. Those movies. I never saw
the second one. I made it through the first one and I was like, this is where I should probably kill myself, because nah. this is not worth watching ever again. And people love those movies for some strange reason. Like, every time I talk to somebody, they're like, no, I like the movie. And I'm like, did you watch it? Like, oh, wait, no. No, I didn't like that movie. I'm like, that's what I thought. Then they made a second one. But whatever. I digress. Anyways, that's it for this week's episode of Comes Naturally. We are
Joe.
Mike.
I am Cody. And as usual, you fuckers just came naturally.
Watch Braven.